Hey.
And we are live.
All
Good
right.
afternoon, everybody. It is Angie Atkinson, and I am here with the lovely and talented Lise Gallucci. Lise, welcome back.
Thank you.
Always happy to have you. And we have just a bit of, wait a minute. There we go. Boop. Okay. So today we're going to talk about ambient abuse and narcissistic abuse by proxy, which is basically the same thing. So, well, they're connected. So by proxy, let's start there. Oh, wait, before we do that, let me just really quickly say, for those of you who are wondering where Dana is, we will let you know when we know something. For now, we don't know much. We just haven't been able to hear from her. Dana, if you're watching, we miss you. Second, Lise, my lovely co-host here, is also my partner at queenbeing.com. She is right here on YouTube on at Lise Gallucci Narcissistic Abuse Recovery Coaching. That will be linked at the end of this video and in the description below once this video goes live. Our lovely admin, I'm sorry, our lovely Mod Squad member, Hufflemom, will post in the chat how you can stay connected to us after the stream and ongoing. Hey, everybody. All right, let's just jump right in.
Okay.
All right. So narcissistic abuse by proxy. Lise, what would you, how would you define that?
Oh my goodness. Well, it's help me out. Help me start this one. This
okay.
One...
So I think it a lot of times involves a flying monkey or two.
Yeah, I'm thinking, I'm like, how do you describe it? It's like somebody else doing the thing to you.
But so a lot of times what I've seen is a flying monkey will be involved. And so the narcissist will, whether the flying monkey is aware or not, and for those of you who don't know, a flying monkey is someone who is sort of doing the narcissist's bidding for them. And so it could be a relative, a friend, a coworker, whatever. And this person will contact you often when you've gone no contact, right? And they will contact you on behalf of the narcissist. And then they will do something, whether they know they're helping the narcissist abuse you or not. They might harass you. They might, you know, are you okay? So-and-so said you're not okay. You know, or are you, I heard you're crazy. Or they probably wouldn't say it just like that, but they will.
I've heard you're having a hard time. I've heard, yeah.
Yeah. And so this is just one more way that they kind of play the game, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's a way they can abuse you outside of the actual contact situation. So that's why you often have to sort of distance yourself from some people in your life as you go. So
and then another form that is really hard to deal with and hard to understand and makes you feel terrible that you're even saying it is they can use your own children to throw things at you. They can manipulate your kids to sort of, they can alienate you from them. And then when the kids come back to you, there's a sort of information gathering. Like the children don't know they're doing it. It's the by proxy, they're sending someone in to do their bidding. Mm-hmm. Then the information gets taken back to them. And it sadly can even be your own kids is what I'm trying to say here. And
Yeah. And it's not that your kids want to abuse
you. No. It's not even there. And it's so sad because they're being used in so many
exactly.
ways. Yeah.
Like as little weapons against their will or otherwise.
Yeah.
And on that, and the other thing that I want to talk about, I put or ambient abuse. I should have said and ambient abuse. But ambient abuse is just another way to say gaslighting, you know, where this is what we call it before we really know what we're dealing with, because a lot of times at the beginning of a relationship or once the love bombing phase has passed, that's when the ambient stuff will start sometimes very subtly. And so, I mean, let's be honest, how many of us actually knew that we could call our relationships abusive before we figured out that we could, you know, that it was abuse, because a lot of times it's so sneaky. I mean, some people it's real obvious, right? But yeah, anyway. Okay. So Lise, can you think of a situation where, or maybe another example of narcissistic abuse by proxy? I'm putting you on the spot and I don't mean to.
No, it's a trick. I can think of them. I'm just trying to make them anonymous and make them,
right.
you know, like, It could be a parent who is a narcissist, mm-hmm. and they say they own property with you, or they own, there's some hook where you have to have communication with them and they have some control of your life. Just as an example, they might send in other people to check on what's going on, like the flying monkeys. They don't know they're doing it. Abuse by proxy. There's more to it than flying monkeys, though. It's the actually getting the other person to gaslight you.
Yes.
Actually getting the other person to, so they'll say,
at least participate in it.
Yeah, it's a hard one to give examples of, but boy, when it happens.
So I've got one for you.
Good. Because I'm like, I'll think. Let me think.
Okay. So for those people who know my story about my narcissistic parent, you would know that I was, my mother called CPS, Child Protective Services, on myself and my husband and told a bunch of lies. Well, she got my brother involved, who up to that point, I thought I had a good relationship with. And so what ended up happening was she told him a lot of lies about me, made up a lot of things that weren't true. I think she told him I was on drugs or something.
Oh my God. I don't know. Right.
But she told him a lot of lies. And so he got involved. And then as, you know, once I realized what had happened, and of course, thankfully, the person who came to my home realized that none of that stuff was true and actually explained to me that there is such a thing as revenge calls. You know, people revenge call CPS apparently all the time. And anyway, so long story short, my brother was involved with it. And then like later that year, it was Christmas time, I had gone no contact immediately when I figured it out, even though I didn't know at the time what no contact meant per se. But I went no contact. And then my mother was, somebody in the family kind of gave me a heads up that my mother had planned to send my brother to my home on Christmas with gifts, which I had no interest in, just to straighten me out, you know. Mm-hmm. Of course, I nipped it in the bud. And then right around that same time, she was also publishing in her business newsletter that I was crazy and had family problems, mm-hmm. asking for prayers. And using my full name, by the way.
Oh yeah.
So that was two ways that I kind of experienced.
Oh, I've heard that same exact story from someone that I know personally, different. They did it around the AA community, but same thing happened. And
It's crazy.
Well, I'm thinking of, I thought of one and now it's gone. So one thing, like say you are in therapy with mm-hmm. a narcissist.
Yeah.
They can get that. A lot of people leave couples therapy with a narcissist feeling unheard, like they've been victimized, re-victimized, like the therapist is attacking them, like everybody ganged up on them. And that would be a way that the narcissist comes in so full on, full of charm, willing to admit everything they do wrong. And then the spotlight's turned on you and your anxiety, or you and your depression, or you and your issues. And you feel like so they have manipulated a situation that by proxy, they have someone else. They can just sit there silent, nodding their head and looking supportive while the therapist tells you what's wrong with you.
Right.
And then you leave there going, wait, was that couples therapy or was that an attack on me? Because I hear that a lot and experienced that personally. So that's one I could think
of. I did, this is kind of funny. I did therapy with a narcissist once and we ended up with two different therapists because the first one we went to, I think it was the first or second session. Might have been the second session. I think it was the first session. Now that I think about it, okay. The therapist like heard the story, heard what was going on, and then for both of us, and then turned and looked at me and said, "You need to leave him." And my ex was infuriated.
Oh,
and yeah. Long story short, we didn't go back. They were literally screaming at each other and cussing as mm-hmm. we left.
It's never a good idea.
And the thing is that it was, I don't think this guy understood narcissists, and I don't know that I did at the time. Mm-hmm. I'm sure I didn't at the time. So there was no, you know, anyway, but this was many years ago. So like 20 something, you know.
I feel like a smear campaign also kind of plays into
for sure
into the by proxy, because people will come and like nice people, unknowing, kind of innocent in the situation, people might come and try and talk to you about the problem or say, you know, have you considered why, you know, I've heard of people like in church communities or in communities that are very good in a way at helping people stay together and like resolve things, you know, as a community, can go too far the other direction when you have a narcissist involved and then they turn an entire community against you, like say it's a church community, just as an example. And then people, well-meaning, will try and fix you through what the narcissist says, and it's not actually you that's the problem. And then you're left there completely victimized by everybody. And it's all because the smear has been started.
That's right. Yes. And that's, it's really true. And that's actually a really, really important point that you're making, because I think, you know, a lot of times we don't think about the smear campaign as being part of, but it is part of abuse by proxy. Absolutely. And that's, and it's also on a related but different note, you know, the smear campaign is also a way that the narcissist, and in fact, before I understood what a smear campaign was, I used to call it the sob story. Mm-hmm. And that was where my, you know, your ex, my ex would go around. And this happened to me more than once in my life, almost so often that I made up a name for it before I knew what it was. And they would go around and they would tell everybody how terrible things were and how bad I was. And then they would get supply from people, you know, new people or old people or whatever. Yeah. So it's also a supply thing. Mm-hmm. Anywho. Okay.
All of these tactics have multiple angles. And it gets them supply in so many different ways.
Exactly.
It's all about attention seeking. You know?
And it's about attention and control, right?
And control. Uh-huh.
Yep. Yep. Yeah, Joy says she hates the crazy word they always use, right? Mm-hmm. It becomes a trigger for a lot of us because it's so common, or that type of, you know, language or whatever. And sometimes they use different words, right? Insane or like you need help, that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And honestly, if I hear somebody say to someone else, you really need help, I almost instantly feel triggered, not triggered like, oh, I'm going to freak out, but I almost instantly go, is that person a narcissist? I
right. wonder. What's you know? There? Yeah. Yeah.
It's so common. It's crazy. The textbookness of it all. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. Oh, Trish says that her ex, his adult daughters were doing his bidding. Yep. And so she literally had to go into contact with them as well, which is unfortunate. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then there's the bit. I'm probably saying it wrong. I'm sorry. Says, oh, and when you don't know when someone is genuinely interested, or if a relative sent them or whatever, basically what regarding the flying monkeys of it all, you know, she said, I can't trust anyone. And mm-hmm. you definitely go through that, especially, you know, before you figure out who's on what side. And it's terrible that you even have to think about that. Right. Like
it is.
I've never understood it. But,
Yeah.
Like you can't keep, you can't both be connected to the same person, even, you know, after the situation ends, at least.
One tip I have for that one though, is you have a right to change the topic at any time and not talk about things you don't want to talk about. And if you feel you're going down that slippery slope of giving information to someone about things you would rather not, stop, set a boundary. You have a right to say, you know what? I don't want to talk about my ex. I don't want to engage in this. It's upsetting to me. Let's talk about something else. What you've been up to.
Exactly. You know,
and that can kind of help where you don't have to completely cut good people out, and you can sort of feel out where they're going to go with it.
Right.
But I get it. Because then how do you trust them?
Right. Right. You don't, at least until you know for sure.
No. Right. Yeah.
And I would say also to tack onto your tip, I would say if that person knew the narcissist before they knew you, assume you don't get them in your life.
Yep, or at least people,
right?
Yep.
And then you know, like Lisa was saying, kind of keep the conversations casual if you're not sure. Mm-hmm. You know, and be very tight-lipped about your feelings and your dealings with a narcissist. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. An example from today, I had actually a client text me and say, you know, I was helping, like their child has a friend who is a child of another couple they know, I guess. And the mother of the couple was reaching out and saying, you know, hey, we need to connect these two kids on this app or whatever, so they can whatever. And then somehow there was a statement made and it instantly got back to the narcissist. And then the narcissist instantly texted this person and yelled about the statement, you know? And so it's just, you just don't know who you can trust. So you just don't talk about the narcissist if you have to talk to those people. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Helpful Mom says, my mother-in-law has insisted twice that service people said unprofessional things about our home and about me in particular. I'm not sure if that counts as ambient abuse or not. I mean, I think on some level it does, right? Because even whether they said it or not, that's kind of a, I'm not sure. So I've seen this a lot with narcissists. They'll say, you know, they'll say, oh, so-and-so said this about you, or some random, you know, person that you can't contact to check. Or they'll say, everyone says this about you.
Right.
I experienced that one a lot. And I would be like, well, who's everyone?
Right. You know? That's a telltale sign that someone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. And then the response I would get a lot of times, well, you know, people. What people?
All the people. All the people.
Say that. Everyone, don't you know?
Everyone.
Come on. Yeah, it's pretty funny. But no, that's not funny. It's terrible. But I'm saying, I'm laughing about it because it's thankfully in the past. But in that, yeah, I would say that was at least, would you say that's ambient abuse? I guess it is kind of gaslighting or could be. Uh-huh. Yeah, part of that. Okay. Zani says my ex-narcissist and his rebound are even worse. Oh yeah. That's the part that is awful. when you have an ex and their new person hasn't quite figured out who they are yet. And they are their biggest advocate. And that, I think, goes back to the sob story, right? Because almost inevitably, when you end a relationship or they end a relationship with a narcissist, then they move on to a new supply because that's what they do.
Minutes.
And then they talk about you to the new supply. Right. And so the part of the reason I think they do that is because you might go and talk to the new supply and say the truth about what happened.
Yeah. Right? Yeah, they're protecting themselves preemptively before you have a chance to... Or before that person has a chance to hear the truth about them. I mean, did I tell you the story that the one I was with told someone who told me, so this is like third party, so he didn't tell me directly, that when he meets new people, he puts on a mask. He didn't say a mask. He said, I put on a lens that I want the people to see me through.
Wow.
He said, because first impressions, he goes, meeting new people is like a job interview. First impressions are everything. The first impression you make will stick with a person the rest of your relationship.
Wow.
So basically he was telling her he grooms.
Yes.
Right. Yes. And that, yeah. And so that person is stuck in that new person is stuck under that new lens that they're groomed through. They can't see it. And so they'll say all these amazing things about this person and you're sitting there going, right. So stop looking, stop paying attention.
No doubt. I think that's really smart. Yeah. And I think the other reason, again, that they do the sob story or that they tell the new supply all the terrible things is supply. They want to get that person on board.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
And conditioning, like you said, I mean, they feel sorry. You feel sorry for them. Me. Right.
Uh-huh.
Well, and then a lot of times, okay. So this happened to me and a lot of my clients and, you know, in hindsight, you realize it, but like, for example, maybe they say, oh, you know what? My ex, I was so traumatized because this person never did the dishes one time, you know? And so then you go, oh my God, they're traumatized. I need to do the dishes every time. I mean, that's a lame example,
right,
you know, they start to condition you to what they want by telling you how much better you are. Than mm-hmm. the ex, or telling you what the ex did that was wrong, you feel protective. I mean, the dishes is a stupid, lame example, but it really was an example in one of my relationships.
It's interesting. That's almost like a by proxy through the actual person because they are relating it to something, someone else, and they're making up a story related to someone else.
Yes, or exaggerating it at least.
Or exaggerating. Right? And another. I thought of another one with how they could use your children. I'm thinking of an example of making you the bad guy.
Oh.
You have to say no to something that they mm-hmm. bring into your house from the other. So maybe you, I don't know, maybe you have a particular food item or something that you have to, Or vitamins. I've heard this with the vitamins. Like you give the vitamins and then they send the vitamins they use back. And you're like, well, but I bought vitamins. Why are they trying to control this? And then not only will they have the vitamins, but they'll have like a whole nother like dietary. So they're trying to send in what they want you to do into your house. Mm-hmm. And when you say, no, thank you, you're the bad guy. That's a kind of dumb example, but it can be anything. It can be they send in the child with something they want to implement in your home as a means of controlling your life with your child.
Oh, yeah. And on that same level, same note, I've seen them use devices.
Devices, yes. Yeah. Uh-huh. It could be that too. Yeah, it could be anything. And they, yeah. And it's hard to explain it without too many details.
It is. It is, but y'all know what we're talking about.
You know what we're talking about if you've been there. It's
right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right. Oh my gosh. Trish says, I overheard him call me his cash cow.
Oh, nice. And
when I started ending it, as he twisted it to say that it was his friend who said that, I guess, had the friend call me to say it was him saying it, like I didn't hear it. Wow. Like that's ultimate. Wow. I mean, that's gaslighting 100%. Mm-hmm. Plus the ambient abuse, or well, same thing, but even abuse by proxy by having the friend being brought into it.
Right. They can even have friends show up with gifts or maybe not gifts for you, but something they purchased for the friend or the child or the relative. So say it's a mother and your sister shows up with something mom got her.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a Hoover back to mom. And the sister doesn't realize she wasn't supposed to show you or like that it would be hurtful to, you know, right. She's innocently like, oh, where'd you get that? Oh, mom got it for me.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh. And so then it looks like the sister's a flying monkey and playing, doing mom's bidding, but maybe she's innocent. Maybe she's not, but whatever.
Right.
That it was deliberately done. There was no, that gift would not have been given.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't think that that was going to show up in your world. Right.
Right. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yes. Okay. Now Hufflemom says, so if the flying monkey asks what the abuser said is true and they believe you when you say it's not, they're not a flying monkey. No.
If the flying monkey asks, say it again. If the flying monkey asks.
If they ask what the abuser said about you is true and they believe you when you say it's not, they're not a flying monkey. I would say no, because what still happened is that they thought to ask you. And so,
right.
They were, whether you, a flying monkey is not necessarily always a bad person.
No.
You know, sometimes they can just be an unwilling flying monkey. Like they,
that's
they
where
really
I
care.
Think more by proxy than monkey. You know what I mean? Like they're,
yes. But anyone that the narcissist tries to make do their bidding. And like we said at the beginning, you know, sometimes people are genuinely concerned. I mean, they're, oh my gosh, I heard this horrible thing about you. Are you okay?
Mm-hmm.
Like, and they really mean it. And then when you explain to them, and they believe you, hopefully, then, you know, maybe they stop functioning as a flying monkey if they're healthy. But narcissists have a great deal of control over a lot of people sometimes, mm-hmm. in their life. And this could be even your own family. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard of families choosing the narcissist over their own family member.
Oh, yeah.
Like, mm-hmm. it shocks me.
Because they're so charming. They're so charming, and the family knows you have these tendencies to mm-hmm. get upset about things, and you're so sensitive and whatever.
And, you know, and of course, the family most of the time has its own level of toxicity for being honest. Large percentage, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But that happens. Yeah. And Trish says she's now no contact with anyone associated with her situation where the friend had to call and say that it was him saying it instead of the husband. Smart, smart, smart. And that's what I would always suggest if that's possible for you, if you can completely, you know, remove people from your life who are actually helping this person abuse you or gaslight you in any way. I mean, like what I always say is this: if somebody comes to you and they say, did this happen? Or I'm so worried about you. What's going on? And you tell them the truth once, if you feel they deserve the truth. Some people don't deserve the truth. You know, they're not part of, like, they're not inner circle people. Right. But sometimes, you know, they'll come to you and you'll tell them the truth, and you'll know that even if they say they believe you, you know, they don't, you can tell. Right.
Mm-hmm.
So when people play into the game, then I always say, if it's somebody that you really care about and they don't believe you the first time you tell them, don't talk to them about it again. and just remove yourself gently. Take 3 steps back emotionally.
Yep.
And then once all the dust settles, you can decide, is that person really effed up or sorry, or is it someone that I can resolve the relationship with? I mean, 9 times out of 10, if they don't believe you, they're not your people. Right. Mm-hmm. But now and then
it happens. It happens. Yeah. Because people, especially really empathic people who don't know how to use empathy. How do I word that? They are pulled by their emotional response to empathy. By their own emotional response to their own empathy. They can empathize with everyone. And they don't understand narcissism.
Right.
They're like, I see both sides, No, you don't. You really don't. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But they just don't get it because they haven't experienced it.
They haven't experienced it and they haven't learned to separate their emotional response to the empathy from having empathy.
Right.
Right. Does that make sense?
It really does. And on that same note, I think a lot of times, especially sometimes they have experienced it from that person. But they're so enmeshed. Like if it's, let's say their sister or their brother or their mother or their, a best friend situation, whatever. They're so enmeshed and so used to being controlled by that person. They won't allow themselves to see outside of that person's perception.
Right. Exactly. Right. Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. So in that case, that's a no contact type situation. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's see. We have one from Savannah who says, my mother is a narcissist as well. Came to my house, shining flashlights into my windows.
Nice.
Stalked my partner's family and has turned every one of my friends against me because I moved out. Oh my gosh.
That's more than a narcissist.
Oh, moved out and didn't want to see her.
Uh-huh.
Wow. Savannah, so this is a perfect example of what we're talking about, right? I mean, at least regarding the flight monkeys of it all. I'm so sorry. Yeah. Any thoughts for Savannah?
Yeah. I mean, that's awful. It's, hopefully that's one of those things where you just want a protective order.
Mm. Yes. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I had a client whose mother stalked her after she went no contact and kept calling and calling and calling and she wouldn't answer. She was no contact, of course. I guess she blocked her on the phone. So she didn't even know she was calling. Well, then one night she was home by herself and this woman just shows up at her house, starts banging on the door. And I've had people do those.
Oh yeah.
Right.
And I've seen people stalking at restaurants.
Yep.
Sending in multiple flying monkeys. Like it was like, after coming in to, why aren't you talking to your mom? And in every seizing bank accounts that were held from the, that were in trust, person worked as a child. So they had a trust under the parent's name and that bank account was seized so that she would have to talk to them in order to get it released.
Yeah.
Money. Well, yeah. Maybe.
The welfare checks too. They call the police. I'm worried. Can you check on this person? They can do this from across the country, and you have the cops at your door.
It's insane. Yeah.
And then the swatting of it all, but we won't talk about that. All right. let's see. PS says, how do you deal with a narcissist ex who constantly abuses you and threatens you in text? It's emotionally draining. Okay. Number one, block them.
No contact. Yeah.
No contact. Number two, if you cannot get them blocked because of you share children or something, then only communicate with them on a court approved app. Because those apps, they report to the court exactly what's being said. Don't respond to any abuse at all. If you, and just only respond with facts, Gray Rock in text, facts, nothing else. So if they say, what the hell is wrong with you? You say, you don't respond to that. If they say, what time am I picking up little Johnny? Then you can respond to that, but only with this, at this location at this time,
right?
Nothing else. That's where you start. If you don't have kids, go no contact, change your phone number, block all the social media. You can, shut them down. And then just simply stop responding. And if you have no legal reason to be involved with them, never respond again. And then eventually they're going to get bored talking to an empty room. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Or an empty text or whatever.
Hopefully, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, we have a super chat. Thank you from Green Spud Trades who says, thanks for educating about these subtle narcissist behaviors. It's so easy to become a victim if you don't know, right? We've all been there. I've been there. Lisa's been there, you know? And the unfortunate thing is that being a victim for most of us on some level, and we're not victims. Okay. Being a person who is abused by a narcissist very often starts way before we ever get into a romantic relationship, right? Mm-hmm. Because it starts in childhood for many of us. Let me just do a quick informal poll in the chat. If you have been raised by a toxic person, or you were deeply affected by a toxic person in your childhood, let me know in the chat with a thumbs up. If you were not, give me a thumbs down in the chat. Not on the video, in the chat. Okay. All right.
Yes.
Do you have any thoughts about being not, you know, how you might become a victim if you didn't know, or any thoughts about becoming a victim when without knowing? Anything on that?
Well, you're groomed. You don't know because like I always tell people when they say to me, how did I get here? They'll say, how did I end up here? How did I not know it was coming? Why am I so stupid that I could let this happen to me? You know, whatever. Right.
Which is not true, but go on.
It's yes. not true. If you were dropped like from another planet, put mm-hmm. into the situation, if you were picked up from a perfect life and dropped into the middle of your, not even the worst part of your situation, the middle of a toxic situation, you would not stand for it unless you've had it repeated over and over and over and over in your life. But remember, mm-hmm. I'm saying if you came from a perfect situation, right? Most of us yeah. haven't. We've come from situations that we don't know what good relationships are. We don't know what healthy is. And so it builds and builds in our life, and we don't know. And
yeah, so we're taught. That's right.
Right. And what we do know is we can tolerate a lot. What we do know is we can fix things really well. What we do know is we know how to manage down people's bad behaviors. We know how to walk on eggshells. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you don't know it's coming. Often you think something's better because someone treats you nice.
Yes. And a lot of times you end up with, you know, you're taught that in order to get love, you need to do stuff for this
right.
person.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And in order to receive love, you need to do stuff for this. And so your form of love very often becomes acts of service or toleration of BS.
Exactly. And you don't know. And you don't right. know. Or you end up meeting a covert narcissist who grooms you so slowly and so sweetly that it's 2 years before you realize you're in something awful.
Yes. Yes. Or more.
Or more. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And when you are raised by toxic and then you fall into toxic, maybe it's a different kind of toxic. That's what my deal
is. Exactly. You think you hear that a lot, yeah. don't you? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Cause you end up right. Like my ex was the complete polar opposite of my mother. At least that's what I thought on the outside.
Comes out, right? Yep. Uh-huh.
Yeah. But it turned out deep down, they were the same kind of ugly. anyway, so you have to be, and it's like a different form of it. Right. So he right. was more kind of sneaky about it. And yeah. she was more kind of in my face about it.
Right. That's what I was yeah. meaning. Yeah. It's like you don't know it's coming. You don't know.
Right. Right. Yeah. Let's see here. Okay. Here we go. Erzabet, I'm sorry. I'm saying it wrong. I'm so sorry. Says today, I cried a little thinking about how my brother abused me and we will never have a normal relationship. He doesn't know what he lost. I feel you. I don't know exactly what you went through with your brother, but I'm guessing that it has to do with the fact that your narcissistic parent maybe separated the two of you or divided you. I see that a lot. Mm-hmm. One situation off the top of my head, there was a woman in a different country, not the United States, who had, and in this country, if you get divorced, you cannot live by yourself if you're female. Okay. So this woman got divorced and she had to move in with her parents. Well, the parents literally would not allow her and her other adult sister, who also lived in the home because she wasn't married yet, to communicate directly. They were not allowed to spend time together alone. And the only way they did communicate directly was secretly through WhatsApp. So like in the same house, you know, the point of that is that narcissistic parents very often want their children to not have good relationships.
Absolutely.
They want to isolate them from each other and everyone else so they can have more control, right?
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. They do. Yeah. Yes. They want everybody to be not trusting one another. And because if you're united and you see the truth, you both see the truth.
Yes.
And then it's real. They right. want to live in their delusion that what they're putting out there is what's real.
That's right. That's right. Yes. Okay. So we have, let's see. Okay. Savannah said, oh, her mother separated her from her father after the divorce. So she told me he was the enemy.
Yep.
I resented him until adulthood. And now we have a great relationship to help me understand so much.
Can I promote a video here?
Please.
Is that okay?
Yes.
Go over to my channel and watch the video on loyalty binds.
Oh, like yes. Do that.
Week, maybe a week before. It's not too far back.
Maybe one of our admins will go grab it for us. Yeah, go ahead.
I think that will explain some stuff to you about what happened with you. With
yes.
Your mom
yes. And your dad. Thank you, Lise. That's a great idea. That's a really good topic, and it's not one I've covered on this channel. So perfect. Okay, let's see here. Savannah. Okay, we got that one. All right. Yeah, it's good to know that your father was, you know, that you guys have a great relationship. And I won't even talk about my own situation there, but okay. Let's see. Elizabeth says, I was on a counseling with my mother and it was about, I'm not laughing at you. I'm laughing because I've had the same experience. It was about why I am wrong.
Oh yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. When I was 12 or 13, my mother had me in counseling and at one point the counselor asked her to come into the room. And one of the things she said was, well, she won't talk to me. And I ask her questions and she doesn't give me thorough answers. Da, da, da. Well, of course I didn't, because if I did, I was in big trouble and there was physical stuff happening as well. But then on the way home, when we got in the car, she started screaming and yelling at me and acting crazy and calling me horrible names. I had no idea why. Well, when we got home, she busted out the dictionary because I used a word she didn't know when she said that. Because my answer was, well, sometimes I'm just pensive and I can't focus and da, da, da. And she was like really angry at me for using a word she didn't know.
Don't you use a word I don't understand.
I mean, I was 12 or 13, you know what I'm saying?
That makes them really mad when you, mm-hmm. yeah.
Uh-huh. It was narcissistic injury is what it was.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, I feel you. And it was also always about why I was wrong. Yeah.
Why you're wrong. Yep. That's being, in, I mean, that's one. We have plenty of videos on why I don't go to counseling with them. So yeah.
With a narcissist.
With a narcissist. Yeah. Not
in, go outside
on your own, of course, but yes. With a narcissist. Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Mm-hmm. Yes. Tasha said, she's so glad this is being talked about. Thank you, Tasha. I agree. It's important. Elizabeth says her father died. I'm so sorry to hear that. Mm-hmm. Now I just lost my place in chat. I hate when that happens. It happens at least once a time. Here we go.
Yeah, okay. Always to everybody.
I know. It's like YouTube does it on purpose.
I do.
Yeah. Okay. Let's see here. So we have. Yeah. All right. We're getting there. All right. So we have from Savannah. Okay. Women. Was that me or you? That was you, right?
I'm sorry. I don't know how to turn that off.
Don't worry about it.
I have my sounds off in my phone elsewhere, but it's still dinging. I don't know.
Indeed. It's okay. Now I have a cat on the table, but it's not the one that's so rude. It's the one that's so, no. Okay. So everybody be prepared. Okay. So Jack says there are a lot of survivors who worry that their kids won't learn the truth of their abusive exes. You know, that's really true, but I'll tell you something. They will.
They will.
Most times.
They will be abused. They are being abused.
Yes.
Sadly. They are being, I mean, I'm sorry, but it's
the one way or the other, they are.
Yeah. They're being manipulated. Let's put it that
Yes. way. And it's true. I guess it's true that sometimes they don't. I've seen situations where the non-narcissistic parent is cut out. Mm-hmm. And that's horrible and tragic. But you cannot, in that situation, what I tell parents who are excommunicated, so to speak, is send them a birthday card and another one more card throughout the year, like a holiday card, you know, Christmas or Hanukkah or whatever, and just say, I love you. I'm always here for you. Reach out if you need me and provide your current contact information. That's it. Outside of that, you know, if somebody has gone so far as to go no contact with you on purpose and they think, you know, that you're the terrible person, usually what needs to happen is that they need to try a relationship with that other parent without you. And once they do, they often do realize that the other parent is toxic, but not always.
Some I have a story parent, about that. Somebody going to, somebody told me this story that their child at 13, I think, I want to go live with dad. Mm. Okay. Like she was like, I just decided if I fight this, then my fight is with her. If I don't fight it, you know, but I keep my door open, there mm-hmm. may be a chance. So she did. She said, let's try it for the summer. So she's like, you stay with him for the summer. Let's check in September. We'll let's talk every whenever you want, whatever. Mm-hmm. Here's my number. And she took off for the summer and she said, fine, bye. But she said 3 weeks in, pick me up. I don't want to live here. He's horrible.
Yeah.
He locked me in my room. He slams the doors. He does it. So it was like, it came out as soon as she let go. Not that that's going to happen to everyone, but it, you know.
Right. And it's hard to let go of a 13-year-old or any child, right?
Oh my gosh, this is not easy stuff. Yeah. Right.
But that really, I think that's really the smartest, if as long as you know the parent isn't going to physically or sexually abuse the child.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. I think it's the right thing to do in that case.
It's it's just so hard. This whole
thing. It really is.
And I think the children, if you maintain consistency, regularity, being yourself, getting yourself emotionally more regulated, stop engaging with the narcissist so you are acting dysregulated in front of the kids, because when we engage with them, we get reactive, we mm-hmm. cry, we get hysterical, we get anxious, and it makes our home life really uncomfortable. So basically that's a by proxy, right? Where they're making you uncomfortable in your own home when they're not even there.
Yes.
And right. So, and so if you can learn to just detach from their attempts at all of this by proxy nonsense, all of the Hoovers, all of the everything, and let your kids see a healthy, happy home, they're going to have contrast between the home and the other parent's house. And they may be confused for a long time, but often they eventually come to see it on their own without ever having to say a word.
Yes. Yes. Okay. I am just seeing it's 1:53. So we are going to have to wrap up in just a minute, but really quickly, I want to take this one from Miss Teague, who says, my ex caused a fight between me and my 16-year-old son, and he ended up standing over me, screaming in my face the way his dad used to, and used physical intimidation to try to bully me. My heart is broken. I am so sorry. In that case, I mean, my 17-year-old son is and has been taller than me since he was 10.
Right.
So bigger. I mean, broader shoulder. You know, he's a whole man-shaped person. You know, so I know that a child, that's very dangerous. It puts you in a very dangerous situation. If he would physically try to intimidate me, I would warn him once. And then you either need to have the, I mean, I hate to say call the police on your child, right? But you need to at least tell him that you will, if he puts a hand on you. And then, you know, I think take from him what you can, as far as, I mean, I don't know your situation. I don't know the whole story, but like, if he, you know, you pay for his phone, you pay for his life,
yeah.
You know, take away the things that you pay for that aren't legally required. You know, you can have food and a bed and a room, but see, then that puts you in a position to have to be the bad guy.
It's awful. Yeah.
It's a really horrible thing. There's almost, you know, I would need to know more about your situation to know how to better advise you. Any thoughts for her, Lise?
Yeah. It's another, you're right. Without knowing the whole picture, it's hard.
Right.
To give any specific advice in general. I mean, it may be a situation where getting him into some counseling, getting him around other teens that are positive,
mm-hmm.
so he has peers that are doing things that like anything, like I'm just doing scouting or something. Not that he's going to want to do that, but you know, like something where people are doing things that are more action-based and positive. It's almost like you can't deal directly with that other than to say no and set a boundary and then figure out how to help him manage his aggression before he becomes an aggressive man.
Yes
And that's okay. That's really hard. So
it really is hard. And if you come back next time we do this, Mystique, and give us a few more details, we can try to help a little more. But really quickly, I'm so sorry. Melissa, who's one of our channel members, says, my ex-narcissist wanted me to do therapy with the caveat that he had access to the therapist's notes to me. No.
What?
No. This is just, I hope that you didn't do it,
Melissa. They always, not always, they so often set the most ridiculous parameters by which they will do therapy.
Yeah. Yeah. And from the outside, we can see it. When you're on the inside, it's hard to see it sometimes, the ridiculousness of their requests and requirements.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
I would think a healthy therapist would never allow that. I mean, what? And if they did, then they would have to also share their notes from that person to you.
How about this one? I want to do blended family therapy with you and your new partner. This is the new partner, and the you are the non-narcissist. The narcissist is saying, I would like to do blended family therapy for your household.
Oh Lord.
Because it's my kid.
No.
What? What is that? What even is that? Right?
That's really, really,
really controlling, right?
And yes.
Just never a good idea.
Never a good idea. Oh. Never. Gosh. Okay. I see Joe in here talking about Dana. And I just want to say one more time for those who missed it. I'm pretty sure Dana's okay. I think she's going through some stuff. I don't know what stuff. I wouldn't tell you if I did, quite honestly, because that's her private stuff. With that being said, I hope she'll be back. And I don't know when that would be. And Dana, if you're watching, we love you and we miss you. With that being said, Lise, are you planning to go live anytime in the near future?
I am. I just don't know when, because school starts this week. So I'm juggling and redo the schedule. So I will.
Okay. Well, Hufflemom will share the information in the chat about how you can keep up with Lise live by herself, or me live by myself, which is almost never going to happen. Me live by myself anymore, but sometimes. And also how you can connect with us on all the other platforms. So we will see you guys soon. I'm so sorry I have to wrap up, but in 2 minutes I have a call starting. So
we're going.
Thank you for so much. And Lise, I'm so grateful that you're here with me, and
thank you.
You're awesome and amazing, and I appreciate you.
Thank you for having me. Yeah.
Yes. Those of you who are not subscribed yet, make sure you subscribe to this channel and to Lise's channel, which is Lise Kaluji, Narcissistic Abuse Recovery. Make sure you check out the video called Loyalty Binds.
Loyalty Binds over there. Okay? Yeah.
And I believe that Hufflemom will link all that in the chat. I will also link to that when the video goes live later. All right. Thank you, Lise. We'll see you next week.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. Bye.